aspen led Windrunner around the outcrop of granite that shielded the west side of the camp and stopped.
The bugs aren't as bad here.
Aspen climbed up on the rock and sat down.
I wanted to talk to you away from camp, where no one could overhear.
Windrunner settled himself next to her, feeling uneasy. She had a serious expression on her beautiful face. The tranquil peace of the night drifted around him. With agile fingers, she undid her braids and fluffed out her hair. The gleaming black strands hung around her like a shawl, framing her face and clinging to her breasts. He forced himself to look away.
I wouldn't have thought it would happen this way. When you plan, you make no mistakes. In the council, only Black Moon's voice carries more weight than yours. Even the warriors have stopped grumbling about eating plants.
They're still flushed with victory. But we've done well.
He gazed out at the fall of night.
Who would have thought we could take an entire land and lose only one woman and two warriors? Our people seem content.
They are. The women especially. Their work is less and they can boss the captives around.
He took her hand.
The camps in the south won't like what we've done. Well, what can they do? If they fight, we won't be with strength.
In the fading light, he looked into her gentle eyes and traced her smooth face with a fingertip. She seemed to melt against him. Her scent and the warmth of her lithe body enveloped him.
You and I, Windrunner. What a pair.
She ran a hand down his leg, stirring his soul. He closed his eyes, imagining that her touch belonged to White Ash. But the illusion faded before reality.
Aspen.
She looked up at him and smiled, but a sadness shone in her eyes. As she started to pull away, he tightened his hold.
I'm sorry,
It's my fault. I know that White Ash is still in your thoughts.
She glanced out over the sage-filled flats toward the Coldwater River.
Funny, isn't it? I never thought I'd love again. I never thought I'd find a man with the gentle warmth my husband had. Now, I don't know what to think. You've become my best friend, Windrunner. I wouldn't want anything to happen that would leave you uncomfortable.
I don't know what to say.
I understand.
He looked at her. A soft smile curled her lips.
Windrunner, I would be your woman. I think you know that. I thought about it for a long time. I weighed the desire I had for you against what I knew I needed in a man. The body can trick the soul. I weighed it to make sure. I don't want you to let your body lead you into something that would change this trust we share.
I fight my desire for you. Every day I struggle with it.
The decision is yours. I can live with you either way, Windrunner.
And White Ash?
White Ash. If you find her, I'll step aside. I understand and accept what she means to you.
How? I mean...
Because I love you. Outside of the safety of my people, I would give anything to see you happy. If that means White Ash sharing your lodge, I will smile and help remove her things in. And afterward, I'll wish you both well.
But to do so would break your heart, wouldn't it?
I've survived worse in the past. I imagine I'll even be able to face you and her every day.
How many times had he and Aspen laughed and planned together? How many times had she sat and listened to him pour out his deepest worries? They'd become a team. His heart raced at the feel of her by his side. He closed his eyes, trying to think despite the blood that pounded in his veins. Even Sage Ghost had given up. He trembled as he reached up and grasped the hand that stroked his neck and brought it back to his lap.
I've never had a friend like you, Aspen. Every minute I'm away from you, I think about you.
She tipped her face up to him and smiled. Hesitantly, he bent and kissed her. She slid her arms around his waist and clutched him tightly.
Are you sure you want this?
He nodded, letting his hand glide over the curve of her throat and down to her breasts. Aspen slipped her leather dress over her head and placed it on the rocks, then stood before him, silhouetted against the starlight. The wealth of her black hair shifted with the wind. He rose to his feet and pulled his shirt over his head. Her nimble fingers undid the laces that held his leggings.
You're certain?
More than I have ever been.
She pulled him close. He reveled in the feel of her body against his.
White Ash, I tried to find you.
White Ash reached into her deer paunch bag that held water. She cupped the cool liquid in her hand and let it trickle onto the hot rocks. Steam hissed in the blackness, rising to fill the sweat lodge they'd made. Still water gasped and panted where he sat across from her. When Wolf Dreamer sought to cleanse himself, he made steam. This he gave to the people to cleanse both the body and soul. The dream had been so explicit. Among the Sun People, no one built a sweat lodge. Among the Earth People, only the healers and those grieving or seeking to talk with the spirits sweated. White Ash sat in the stifling blackness and let the steam bathe her. Her skin prickled as water traced down the slippery curves of her body. She closed her eyes against the discomfort.
Listen to the voice that isn't there.
Again and again, she tried to keep her mind blank.
It has to be here somewhere. Oh, silence, you fool.
White Ash battled to find a way to escape the noise in her head. Her lungs labored for a cool breath of air. Grimly, White Ash willed herself to ignore the frantic cries of her body to leave this stifling heat. The wolf bundle lurked at the edge of her soul, its tendrils hovering about her.
We can help you. Release yourself to us. Let us show you.
A gray muzziness left her spinning. She fell, dropping into it. Around the edges, a glistening golden mist swirled, beckoning.
You are following the right path, Mother of the People. Are you strong enough? Are you tenacious enough to continue?
Then she became aware of coolness descending over her.
White Ash?
Consciousness returned slowly. She blinked and found herself in Stillwater's arms. His good arm supported her weight, while his bad arm held her braced against his chest. High above, stars dusted the sky, except to the south, where they were hidden by a shadowy bank of clouds. He had taken her out of the sweat lodge.
What?
She winced against a terrible ache pounding in her head.
You fell over. I think the heat got to you. Too much, too quick.
She struggled to sit up. The cool night air left her shivering. Stillwater wrapped a robe around her shoulders, his hand steadying her against the dizziness that possessed her.
Her dream was right. I almost did it again. I heard the bundle's voice, felt the gray haze. How one was there, just out of reach.
I'm worried about you.
A pleasant satisfaction filled her, as if she'd been cleansed for the first time since Three Bulls raped and beat her so long ago.
It's the right path. The right path.
All right. Maybe tomorrow we'll try again.
No. Tonight. I just need to get my wind back.
Stillwater squatted before her, and she could see concern in the depths of his brown eyes.
You're pushing too hard. This morning you were sick to your stomach. That's 4 days in a row. You don't work into things. You just dive headlong. Can't we take this a little at a time?
She took his cool hand and pressed it against her sweat-drenched cheek.
I have to be ready when power calls. I have to be strong enough.
You scare me sometimes. If you kill yourself, then what?
Then I wasn't strong enough. And it's better this way than dying on a Broken Stone's war dart. Or worse. Who scares you most? Me or a brave man?
Let's sweat tomorrow. First thing. I'll feed you another big breakfast and we'll...
Tonight.
Tonight. All right. Let me build up the fire and heat the rocks again. But this time I'm going to stay close. When you toppled over in there, you hit the ground hard. If it wasn't for those hides we put down, you'd have cracked your head open.
She lay back, letting the cool night winds play over her hot skin.
Singing stones took years to learn the way to the One. Before that, he'd used power as a healer among the clans. How can I do what I must in so short a time?
Brave Man stood on the high ridge and looked out over the vast wind basin where it spread to the south. Before him, the flank of the mountain dropped off to grassy foothills, spotted with stands of sagebrush that fanned out into the parched lowlands.
Soulflyer!
Brave Man turned. Fat Elk stood among the tumbled boulders beneath the point, a hand shielding his face from the sun. Brave Man eased down from the rocky point, taking special care with his bad leg. The pain had subsided as the bone strengthened. If only he could do something about the headaches. Sometimes they throbbed until his vision doubled. The way of trade is that something must be given in return for something else.
To receive power, I must give pain.
He scooted his way over a slanting slab of rock and found better footing on the loose slope below. Fat Elk's face puffed with cautious excitement.
Find anything?
Brave Man walked stiff-legged through the thick grass of the ridgetop toward the dense spruce and fir beyond.
Plenty.
Fat Elk showed a veiled look in his half-lidded eyes.
You were wise to send us out, but the news you expect isn't what I have come to tell you.
Brave Man entered the dark green belt of rich-limbed fir trees.
I expected the Black Point to be moving into the country the White Clay tried to occupy.
Not the Black Point, the Hollow Flute.
Brave Man stopped and studied Fat Elk in the cool shadows.
Hollow Flute? In the Fat Beaver Valley?
Yes, and the Snowbird are hunting in the lands occupied by the Black Point last winter, while the Wasp... Well, I found a camp of theirs on the very ground where we wintered.
Brave Man scowled at the brown needles under his feet and fingered the curious stones on the necklace he'd stolen from the one-armed man.
Then where are the Black Point?
Fat Elk lifted his hands helplessly.
I can't tell you, but I know this. Soulflyer, almost all of the clans have wounded among them. There's been fighting. A lot of it.
The Black Point were strong. But if all the clans moved south, have they gone the way of the White Clay?
I have more news, Soulflyer. The Wasp clans have sent scouting parties into the northern part of these mountains. What do we do? Take the people north and drive off the Wasp who invade our land?
No, my friend. Let them have this pile of rock. I have a better place for us to warm our darts in blood than among the Wasp. And perhaps your manhood needs warming too, eh?
Brave Man gestured over his shoulder.
In the south, the Earth people are waiting for us.
These aren't bad mountains to live in, Soulflyer.
No, they're not, but glory lies to the south. Which would you rather have? Honor and more women than you could ever bed? Or an endless war with the Wasp?
What have you dreamed?
I've dreamed of your family becoming so large. You spend more time hunting to feed all the children you planted than you do coupling. South, my friend. South.
Fat Elk rubbed the back of his neck, a sheepish expression on his face.
I look forward to the challenge, Soulflyer.
Brave Man led the way down the narrow, winding elk trail. Thick green walls of spruce and fir shaded the path, the branches interwoven overhead. He stepped out of the trees into a grassy clearing. Here they'd set up the main camp. Tan lodges stood around the belt of timber and beside a clear stream that cut through the meadow. The dogs barked at him and, after checking his scent, returned to the shade to lie down.
Fat Elk.
Yes, Soulflyer?
The Snowbird. Did they seem as interested in the south, too?
Yes. I'd say they were moving south. I don't understand it. They should be up north of the dangerous river. And now they're hounding our heels again. I don't think all of the wounded warriors I saw have been hurt by the Hollow Flute.
Brave Man clapped him on the back.
You've done a good job, my friend. Go, take your deserved rest. And good luck planting the first of those children.
Fat Elk grinned and nodded, trotting off toward his lodge.
Hollow Flute south of the Fat Beaver. Where are the Black Point?
South!
South? Impossible.
Nevertheless, Unease nibbled at Brave Man as he walked to his lodge and settled himself in the sun to think. What if he had to race the Black Point to the Earth People's land? He started to lean on one elbow, but something in his belt pouch poked his hip painfully. He squirmed around and pulled out the black stone wolf. He drew his arm back to pitch it, but decided against it. Instead, he held it up to the light, admiring once more the skill that had gone into the fashioning. The heavy effigy gleamed in his fingers, the luster so deep the carving seemed translucent, as if he stared into an endless darkness. Against his better judgment, he dropped it back into his pouch and leaned the other way. Across the camp, voices rose in greeting. Friends welcoming Fat Elk home, no doubt. Brave Man studied the tops of the firs. They rose like dart points against the sky. He was so close to finding the way to the golden haze and the power it represented. Night after night, while Pale Raven slept, he sat by the fire and traced the pathway he'd been developing in his soul. That had to be the key. To find the way, he must look inward. Each time he came closer, feeling the fuzzy gray haze, his soul heard the soundless call of the power. He knew he could find the way. That wondrous golden power could be his. With it, he, Brave Man, could control even the wolf bundle and the other source of power he'd experienced and been rebuffed by. Some evil spirit had thrown him out of the golden haze that day south of the Fat Beaver River. He'd heard the voice.
I will face you again someday. When I do, I promise I will dominate you. No one is stronger than Brave Man. I survived the Camp of the Dead, not just in my soul, but in my body. I have the voices of the spirits whispering in my mind. The Wolf People's bundle couldn't destroy me. I will dream the new way!
If only worldly problems didn't keep intruding on him. He'd hoped to leave here just after the first snow. By then, more meat would be dried and ready for the journey. But now, if the Hollow Flute were pushing the Black Point south? Pale Raven appeared, leaning around the curve of the lodge.
I found him!
She called over her shoulder to someone, then looked to Brave Man.
There's news.
Brave Man placed his hand on hers as she knelt beside him.
I know. Fat Elk has already told me.
Fat Elk?
Longbone rounded the corner of the lodge, looking uneasy. The young warrior's dusty hunting shirt was scratched here and there, grease-stained and watermarked. His high moccasins looked scuffed. The bones tattooed into his cheeks wrinkled as the warrior smiled shyly.
And you are back, too. Come, sit. Wife, bring us something to eat. Longbone looks worn out.
Pale Raven ducked into the lodge while Longbone sank to the grass to sit cross-legged. Brave Man studied him, noting the fatigue in the man's eyes.
What news? Did you find the Earth People? Do they look wary, alarmed by our presence?
Longbone rubbed at his thin face.
No, Soul Flyer. I don't think we need to worry about the Earth People. They'll mean no trouble to us at all.
Oh?
Brave Man raised his eyes as Pale Raven set a horn bowl before Longbone. The warrior picked up the carved horn, crafted from the boss of a mountain sheep. He fished around with his fingers for the last pieces of meat and wild onion before handing the empty bowl back to Pale Raven.
I went south into the Wind Basin as you asked me to, Soul Flyer. I felt proud that you had entrusted me with the task. I used every skill and bit of cunning I possessed. No one saw Longbone as he slipped through the sagebrush. I crisscrossed the land below these mountains and found warriors all right. The basin down there is bristling with them.
And do they look like we can beat them? Are these Earth People as weak as I dreamed?
Soul Flyer, the Black Point have already taken the basin from the Earth People.
Black Point?
Yes, Soul Flyer. They're everywhere, moving south.
How? How did they get there? Why?
I don't know, but I sneaked close to their camp one night. A new war leader walked among them. A young man I didn't know.
Yes, yes, go on.
I took great risk and crawled to the edge of their camp like a snake. I heard the warriors talking. Black Moon himself listens to this new war leader. as does Hot Fat. I saw him, a tall young man. He walked with a beautiful woman with long black hair.
Did you hear his name?
Windrunner.
Windrunner?
Brave Man knotted both hands into angry fists.
This time, old friend, I will kill you.
He slit his eyes. When the struggle for the wind basin was over, he would find a high place and have Windrunner brought to him, his arms and legs bound. There, as in the visions, he would raise a stone knife to the sun and slit Windrunner's breast open. He'd reach in and cut the pumping heart from the living body. With the still beating heart in his bloody hand, he would lift it on high, a gift to the sun and Thunderbird, payment for power. His warriors would watch and be awed. White Ash would...
White Ash!
It all came clear. Longbone had said that a beautiful woman walked with Windrunner.
Oh, he has her! Tomorrow we leave. Tomorrow, Windrunner, I'm coming for you!
Steam rolled up from the boiling stones to fill the dark sweat lodge. White Ash sat immobile. She let her soul sway with the chant that still water mumbled next to her. She lost herself, following the path within that she'd learned with such effort. The way came easily now as her control over herself increased. The one lay just beyond. She hovered at the edge, peace seeping through her soul. The gray mist beckoned, pervasive. She gathered her courage, seeking to cross the threshold, to force her way, and lost it.
Let go of yourself.
White Ash caught herself, retracing the path inward. At the boundary of the One, she hesitated. Her soul pulsed and wavered, the lingering sweetness of the One playing about her like butterfly wings.
Let go.
Trust the wolf bundle.
In desperation, and aware of no other choice, she let her soul slip away into the current of power granted by the wolf bundle. Like the torrent of a river, the power swept her into the gray mist. She fell, tumbling, helpless, and the world became golden.
Dream. Dream the One.
Power, like a fine mist, filled the air. Beside her, Stillwater glowed, his soul yellow and red. The hot stones in the center of the sweat lodge wavered in fiery illumination. Despite the hides piled over the framework of the lodge, she could sense the vegetation and the somber rock around them. Insects, birds, even the mice in their nests down in the rock pulsed like little fires. Trouble appeared as a kindly whitish-red gleam in the wavering blues and greens of the One. She extended and met resistance.
Seek no farther, Mother of the People. We stop you here.
Where are we?
A flickering appeared, a light dancing like fire. The golden features of a young man, the beautiful young man of her dreams, floated in the One.
I am Wolf Dreamer, the one you call First Man. You are my dream, Mother of the People. You have opened the doorway. I asked you to enter no farther, for illumination will trap you as it has trapped others.
It is so beautiful.
You are dreaming at the edge of the One, feeling the spiral.
I would feel more, no more.
Your time has not come. We need you to dream. The wolf bundle is the way. This time, you have dreamed enough. You have learned well, Mother of the People, but do not lose yourself as Singing Stones did. The lure of the One is powerful. Your time to dream the whole of the One will come.
You stop me?
For the moment. But we cannot stop you forever. You have a strength. We have hardened you, seeking to turn you to our purpose.
What purpose is that, Wolf Dreamer?
To dream a new way for the Sun People. To dream the spiral for them.
And if I don't?
You already know the answer. The spiral will shift and my dream will change. That which is will be different. Stillwater has seen what will come. You can save the dream of First Man. The choice is yours.
Oh.
She wept at the beauty. The dancing lights that illuminated the One glowed golden about her. A great peace infused the very air.
Wolfjamer, is this what Singing Stones knew?
And what he could not deny in the end. He dreamed and could not return. Can you? Will you dream for us? The wolf bundle waits for you. Call upon it.
I don't want to leave here.
Then all is lost. The spiral will shift. Brave man will impose his terrible dream on the spiral.
White Ash recoiled, drawing back.
No! Oh!
The gray mist drifted away. She could feel a hand gripping her flesh as she reeled.
White Ash!
Stillwater's anxious cry drew her soul back to her body. Heat suffocated her. She thrashed against the hand that held her.
White Ash! White Ash! It's me, Stillwater! You're safe! Safe!
Oh!
She lay back, cradled against his bad arm. He lifted the lodge flap. Light poured in to blind her. She crawled out weakly to lie on the cool, comforting surface of the earth. Dark clouds cloaked the sky. Reverently, she touched a blade of grass that tickled her cheek, aware of its life for the first time.
White Ash?
Stillwater knelt beside her. She hugged the earth, as if to draw it into herself and mix it with the beat of her heart. Her tears burst out at the feel of his hand stroking her hair.
Are you all right?
So beautiful. Oh, Stillwater. It beats like a heart, only differently. I talked to First Man. Beautiful. So beautiful.
She placed her lips against the soil and breathed into it, sending colors winding down into the ground.
How do you feel?
She rolled over, heedless of the dirt that clung to her skin, and looked up at him. Her love swelled. She'd seen his soul, been one with it. This man, who looked down at her with such concern, glowed of love. She reached up and pulled him down, crushing him to her.
Fine, Stillwater. I'm fine.
You screamed. A terrible scream.
I know. Here, in this world, in the illusion, I see. For the first time, I really see.
He drew back, searching her eyes.
I'm not going to like it, am I?
I dreamed the wine, Stillwater. I dreamed it.
I felt something. I heard the voices of the wolf bundle. I think we have to go.
Did you dream the one, too?
He stared at her, retreating into his own vision.
If that's the one, I want no part of it.
She clasped his hand in hers.
Tell me.
His face hardened.
I saw the lame warrior. He walked through a world littered with the dead. Blood soaked the soil, and people with fear in their eyes lifted their hands to him. In the dream, he looked up at me. His face was filled with evil. He held up the wolf bundle, and I felt its power. He turned it against the people, using it for evil. He turned himself into a witch.
I feel lost.
White Ash and Stillwater lay in their robes. Firelight flickered on the sooty rocks of Singing Stone's shelter. Trouble lay stretched out across from her. He watched her through soft eyes, eyebrows twitching. Traces of the one lingered in her mind so powerfully that the familiar shelter might have been a place she'd never seen before. Stillwater hugged her close.
I'm here. I hope always to be here for you.
She closed her eyes, tightening her grip on his arm.
It's like being born into a new world. Nothing is the same. I don't know what to do. The one pulls at me. I know what Singing Stones meant when he said it's like being a moth around a fire.
We'll manage. You and I. We're stronger together than we would be apart. Maybe that's part of the puzzle.
She rolled her lip over her teeth. Escape would be so easy. Her very strength could carry her past First Man and into the One. He'd as much as said that. She could be free to experience it all, to dance the spiral. and the dream of First Man would die. The harmony that his dream infused in the world would cease. She rolled over and stared into Stillwater's gentle eyes.
Nothing has ever been so wonderful. You can see the soul of the world. I saw your soul. Yellow and red, glowing. You are a good man, Stillwater.
He smiled at her, reaching out to finger her hair.
And you are a good woman, White Ash. I couldn't have done what you did. Like Singing Stones, I would have been at it for years.
She pressed his hand against her cheek, seeking to draw strength from him.
I feel as though I'm on the edge of a knife-sharp ridge I have to walk. An abyss on either side. The problem is, I want so badly to fall.
It's still new for you. It'll go away. The more you dream...
She placed her fingers against his lips.
No. You don't understand. It's like... Words are illusion. They can't explain it. But the more you dream the one, the more powerful it becomes. It's as though its beauty builds in your soul, growing and growing until you and the one merge. You can't bear to leave it, because to leave is like tearing your soul apart. How can I experience such bliss and willingly come back to this world and all its pain? This time, First Man used my deepest fears to convince me to let go. But next time? For the time after? Oh, Wolf Dreamer doesn't know what he asks.
He has faith in your strength. I have faith in your strength.
I wish I shared your faith. One mistake, and I'll be pulled in, unwilling to resist, unable to. Oh, Singing Stones, how did you do it for so long?
Maybe he didn't have me.
She ran her hand along the side of his face, tracing the curve of his ear.
You're part of my strength, that's true. I never would have found the way without you. You chanted for me and encouraged me when I would have given up.
She buried her face in his chest.
I didn't know I could love a man this much.
She listened to his heart, feeling his withered arm against her breasts.
Love. Another puzzle. What is it? Why does it work the way it does?
That's not my worry for the moment. It's how to control the dream. How to stay halfway between the one and the world.
White Ash watched the firelight flicker on the irregular walls. She'd found the way to cross the boundary and taste the forbidden honey. But what if she couldn't stop? What if she couldn't keep herself from glutting on the wonder and the harmony of the other side? What would happen to Stillwater?
I feel your worry.
Her breasts ached where they pressed against him. Idly, she touched them, wondering how she'd hurt them.
Things are just getting worse.
You found the way to dream?
That's not what I mean. What happens when we leave here? You forget we must deal with the Sun People. Anyone who isn't part of the clan is an enemy. How do we tell them we're sent by power? And who'd believe it anyway? Stillwater, they'll kill you on sight, but... me, they'll take me. A woman is always useful to them.
Her eyes traced the painted patterns of the spiral. Why hadn't she ever seen the truth of the spiral before? The spiral was the world, the creation.
We'll find a way. Power will help us.
We only get one chance. How will we do it? Sneak into their camp at night? With all the dogs on guard? Besides, they're in unfamiliar territory. Lookouts will be posted everywhere, watching the flats, scouring the country. They leave nothing to chance. Flying Squirrel, you were right. The Sun People have warred until they're so strong, nothing can stand against them.
I'll think up a way. It's another puzzle.
And then when we're among them, we have to find a way to stay alive. If we're unlucky and walk into Brave Man's camp, do you think he'll give me a chance to dream? Hardly. He'll have a seed planted in me before he can force me to the ground.
We'll find the right camp.
Let's say we do. And if I have a chance to dream, what if I get lost in the One? What if I can't resist the draw? If I don't come back, they'll kill you, Stillwater. You can't even speak their language.
Well, at least they'll be quick about it. I'll be right behind you that way. Just keep sight of my soul. As I understand it, it will be the yellow and red one.
Don't joke.
But she felt comforted.
You'll come back. I love you too much to...
She shifted to look up at him. He'd become lost in his thoughts.
What were you saying?
Power will never cease to amaze me.
Do you want to stop looking smug and tell me?
Love, of course.
What?
He continued to stare at some infinite point beyond the walls of the rock shelter until she jabbed him in the ribs to get his attention.
What?
It's all so clear. Love, the dreamer, that's what Warmfire told me just before he died. That's the answer.
Stillwater, I've been worrying about our survival, about everything we have to do. All I see is quicksand in every direction. Why don't you tell me?
He rolled on top of her, staring down into her eyes with a happy smile on his face.
What are you doing?
I'm going to love you.
She looked at him as though he'd gone crazy.
Now? Not now, Stillwater, not after.
Especially now.
Stillwater, I don't want to right now. I have to think. Too much is happening. Too many things. My thoughts keep slipping away, drifting back to...
He nibbled at her ear.
Trust me. Concentrate. Do you love me? Really?
She nodded instantly, aware of his body responding to hers. He cupped her breast, massaging it gently.
Then clear your mind. Use the same path, only change it. Share yourself with me. It's the answer, don't you see? The reason dreamers always shun people, it's why they run away from those they love.
Because it interferes with the dreaming.
He nodded wisely.
Now, let's see if we can't make that narrow ledge you balance on just a little wider. Love me with all your body, White Ash. Love me with all of you.
She drew him close.
All of me. And then some Stillwater.
The fire's fading embers cast a dull red light on the rocks overhead. White Ash lay on her back with Stillwater's head cradled on the swell of her breasts. His even breathing filled her with an uneasy contentment. This night it had worked. A tottering balance had been restored. But how long could she maintain it? How long could Stillwater's gentle soul keep her from following the lure of the One? Over and over she listed the uncertainties that lay ahead, and then glanced at Stillwater's pack, feeling the power of the wolf bundle. It tugged at her with ghostly fingers. She shied away, seeing again Singing Stone's face on that last night.
Ah, if I can't keep denying you, bundle. Oh, brave man wins.
Bitterbrush caved in the sand around Lupin's little body. To her surprise, Sage Ghost had carried the girl and had placed a handful of sand on the corpse, as was the Earth People custom. And when he'd done so, a tear had streaked down one side of his stern face. Tuber, choking on his grief, viciously pushed the mounded sand into the hole as if by doing so he could exhaust the hurt within.
I share your sorrow.
Sage Ghost stroked her head with a kind hand. His speech had improved over the past moon as they had slowly moved south. Tuber's frantic fingers stopped clawing at the sand. He huddled, weeping. Sage Ghost knelt beside him. He placed calloused hands on her son's shoulders.
Warriors do not cry. Death is part of life. Look at me, Tuber.
Then he pointed up toward the sky.
Thunderbird watches all of us for the sun. He weighs your soul, seeing every action. Are you strong enough for Thunderbird, Tuber? Will you send your soul to him to be judged worthy to be carried to the camp of the dead?
But my sister...
We all die, even Sage Ghost. And one day, you That doesn't make the grief any less, but that's just the way it is. Accept the pain you feel and live with it. That takes courage. Come, we have buried her in the way of your people. Now it is time for new life.
Bitterbrush took a last look at the grave, struggling to understand what had happened. She'd only turned her back for a moment, but in that time, Lupin climbed up on the rocks.
Look at me, Mama! I can see everything from here!
The words would live forever in Bitterbrush's soul. She'd straightened from where she'd been plucking flowering paintbrush and stared in horror.
No! Get down!
Bitterbrush had rushed forward.
No!
Lupin's eyes had grown round, and in her hurry to obey, she'd slipped, almost caught her balance, and fallen.
Ah!
The sight of her little Lupin falling to the hard rocks would haunt her for an eternity.
Oh, Lupin! Lupin, stay with us! Stay!
She'd rushed back to camp, carrying the limp burden of her daughter in her arms. Desperately, she'd turned to the only person who might help, Hot Fat, the Black Point healer.
Hot Fat! Hot Fat!
Tuber had heard her fearful cries. He'd crowded in behind her, a horror in his black eyes. Hot Fat had listened to Lupin's chest and felt about her stomach. Then he'd prayed, sprinkling powders around and imploring the sun. Lupin's chest had ceased its labored breathing. Hot Fat had looked at her and shaken his head.
What do I have left? Only Tuber.
Bitterbrush stumbled now, eyes blinded by tears. Sage Ghost's arm settled on her shoulder as he led the way back to the lodge. She walked in numb misery, her soul drained of purpose. The only solace lay in the reassuring arm of the alien man who had claimed her.
Tuber, where are you going?
My sister is dead. I want to be by myself.
Bitterbrush cringed at the surly tone in her son's voice.
Do not go far. The warriors might not understand. We don't want to bury you too. And that is the result of a silly mistake.
Tuber nodded respectfully and walked toward a low knoll at the edge of camp. Sage Ghost led Bitterbrush into his lodge. He'd tried living in the earthen shelters of her people, but couldn't bear having dirt all around him. Then he'd built a small conical lodge of buffalo hide and seasoned lodge poles on the western edge of the camp. Today, the skirts were rolled up from the peeled poles and tied to allow the breeze to blow through. A splash of sunlight slanted from the smoke hole, landing on a parfleche painted in yellow and red. Sage Ghost shot Bitterbrush a measuring glance and used a buffalo horn spoon to dip tea made from scurf pea seeds. She took the bittersweet brew and sipped it gratefully.
Why did it happen? Will everything of mine be taken away?
Sage Ghost settled next to her, resting an arm on his propped knee. His broad lips pressed tightly together. The five black circles on his forehead seemed to stand out as if his skin had paled.
Ah, sometimes power does that. I don't understand it.
She noted the sorrow in his face.
After all that's happened, I should hate you.
I don't see hate in your eyes when you look at me. Only endurance.
She lowered her gaze to the tea, as if the reflections in it could explain the suffering to her. He'd been kind, treated her like a wife instead of a captive. She hadn't fought when he mounted her that first time. He'd been gentle, as if he cherished her.
Would I feel that way if he'd murdered my husband the way Pretty Woman's captor did?
My heart aches for you and Lupin. I wish I could bring her back.
Why? What is one little girl to you?
All of the children Bright Moon and I had died when they were young. Bright Moon wasted and Power sent me south to find another child for her. I stole a girl from the camp you call Three Forks, and she became our daughter. Now she too has vanished, probably killed by the wolf people. Life has not been kind to me or to my children. I loved each one of them with all my soul. I had begun to love Lupin.
Is that why you played with her? Worked so hard to teach her the Sun People language?
Yes. A man should leave someone to remember his name, someone to look up at the stars, at the camp of the dead, and say, Sage Ghost is up there.
Is that why you took me? Because I'm still young enough to bear another daughter?
I took you because I saw the sorrow in your face. It touched my soul. All of my people, the White Clay, are dead. Your people will soon be the same way. The Black Point broke the White Clay, and the Wolf people killed what was left.
Doesn't that anger you? Doesn't traveling with them sicken you inside?
No. Who is Sage Ghost to question the way power works, or what its purposes are? The time of the White Clay had passed, that's all. The Black Point did what the Black Point had to. Had it been turned around, the White Clay would have done the same to them. The time of the Earth people has passed, too. If the Black Point hadn't taken your camp, killed your men and old women, the Broken Stones would have. Or the Hollow Flute. Someone.
Bitterbrush closed her eyes, seeing the last gathering, the expressions on people's faces as they hurried away. Perhaps they'd known deep in their souls. Bone Ring had been the only one to see the truth, and even she had failed to see all of it. Larkspur's casual dismissal of the Sun People had been the doom of all of them, and Larkspur lay unburied in the sagebrush back of Round Rock, food for the ravens, maggots, and coyotes.
I worry about Tuber. He could become a great warrior, or destroy himself.
He's been different since his father died. Give the boy a chance. Everything he had has been taken away from him.
I spoke for his life when most wanted to kill him.
You've been taking him with you to hunt.
His heart is in the hunt. He doesn't say much, spending his time in his head, but he has a natural way. Great strength for his age, and he moves with the stealth of a ghost.
Warm fire taught him.
Warm fire, Lupin. Bitterbrush lowered her head, hair spilling around to hide her from the world. Sage Ghost shifted, putting his arms around her. In his embrace, she cried herself dry. Stillwater walked quietly beside a frowning White Ash. Underfoot, the soft sand shifted and dimpled with his tracks. Around them, hills of buff-colored sand had stabilized under a mat of grass, sagebrush, and greasewood. Trouble followed obediently behind. Overhead, an eagle drifted against the high-piled thunderheads to the south. Stillwater led the way through the hollows and flats between the dunes. This was a trick used by hunters to avoid the keen-sighted antelope, who could see 10 times as well as a man. If hunters could screen their movements thus, then perhaps he and White Ash could avoid the vigilant eyes of the Sun People scouts. When they had to expose themselves by climbing long dunes, they hurried. Stillwater glanced at White Ash and realized she had lost herself in her head. A hardness had formed around the fullness of her mouth. Worry ate at her, occupying every waking moment.
Can you dream the birds?
Dream the birds?
Sure. Singing Stones dream the elk. See if you can dream the birds. Get them to accompany us for a while. I like walking with birds.
She gave him a suspicious glance.
I don't know. Walking and dreaming at the same time?
A new challenge. Just this morning you were complaining that, as Singing Stone said, you'd learned to walk, but you couldn't control your balance.
She jerked a nod, indicating that she would try. Her frown tightened as she honed her concentration. The pace slowed, but they walked on. Stillwater kept his eyes on the birds flitting in the sage. He stayed silent, simply enjoying the warmth and smelling the land. A touch settled on his soul, an imperceptible shifting that vanished immediately. He glanced down to see Trouble staring at White Ash. A shiver ran along Stillwater's spine as he felt the touch again. His skin prickled. White Ash dreamed and walked. He knew deep within his soul when he touched the edges of the One. The wolf bundle on his back became lighter. Now weight began to vanish until his pack might have been filled with air. Stillwater's soul thrilled with the feeling of power. Sparks of it shot through his bones. He shook his head, guts roiling. He had opened his mouth to say something when a rosy finch fluttered around them. He stared, a slow smile coming to his lips. Or was this only curiosity on the finch's part? A bluebird landed on his shoulder. Other birds appeared in the air, circling and following, flitting from sagebrush to sagebrush. Joy rose in Stillwater's soul. Then something plopped on his head.
What?
With a grimace, he stopped, reached up, and wiped wet white stuff from his hair and glared at a circling meadowlark. As he turned to speak to White Ash, a doe antelope crested the ridge, ears up, watching them intently. She picked her way down through the sage and turned to walk before them. Stillwater gaped and looked over his shoulder. A coyote with bright-eyed pups ambled along behind them. A badger bulled through the sage on short, bowed legs. The eagle dropped, soaring close above them, but none of the birds reacted to the sky hunter's descent. More antelope crossed the dune to precede them. A warm fullness began to pulse in Stillwater's soul. He glimpsed a bushy-tailed pack rat as the nocturnal creature paralleled their path without paying the slightest heed to the badger or coyotes. Insects whirled noisily on silver wings. A rattlesnake slithered through the waving grasses to intercept their path.
White Ash?
The rattlesnake turned toward them, leaving sinuous marks in the sand. Stillwater reached over and touched her.
White Ash, maybe this is getting a little out of control.
Her eyes cleared. As suddenly, the birds rose and the antelope stopped, staring about uneasily. Stillwater watched the rattlesnake coil, tongue flicking back and forth.
Oh, my.
White patches flashed on the antelope's hindquarters as they raced off over the dune, kicking up spurts of dust. Within half a moment, Stillwater stood alone with White Ash in the little hollow. Only the rattlesnake remained, and then it slid into the shade of a sagebrush. Stillwater looked around.
Did I do that?
I think calling birds will take some work. You called everything.
I just touched the edge of power. I didn't want to go too far.
Maybe we don't want to try this around white bears or anything big or hungry.
She followed him across a low bar of sand before sinking wearily to the warm ground. Her hide skirt spread about her in a fringed crescent. Stillwater squatted down next to her, noting the slump of her shoulders.
Why are you sad? You did it.
But all I wanted was birds.
They came.
Along with everything else.
She looked up at him with frightened eyes.
Maybe that's because I didn't trust myself to cross into the one. I held back.
She closed her eyes.
But it's there, calling.
The important thing is that you managed to hold back. That's good.
Only because you were there. I could see your soul glowing. I anchored myself to you. Where are we going?
She looked around as though suddenly lost. Stillwater squinted out across the rumpled dunes.
South.
He lifted his hand to the western horizon, judging the time. They had three hands of sunlight left.
There's a creek that generally holds water this late in the year. It's just at the edge of that dune field. I won't say the water's good, but it's wet. We can camp there. We might be a little late, but...
Let's go.
Snail Shell ran his toughened fingers along the smooth wood of his dart shaft. His heart pumped excitement. Easy victims. Only a man, a woman, and a dog. One cast from his strong arm and spirit-blessed Otlottle, and two things would happen. The man would die, and the woman would be his. The dog could be clubbed easily enough if it caused trouble. Snail Shell prepared to stand and cast his dart, but something played with his soul, some power. A prickling, like a thousand ant feet, lifted his high-roached hair, filled his breast, and tried to suffocate his heart. In horror, he glanced at the woman's face. She looked asleep or dead, but she was walking. Frightened, he let them pass and followed. Fear traced frosty patterns up and down his spine. He watched in awe as the birds came to circle around them and land on their shoulders. Then antelope joined the couple, and coyotes and an eagle. A badger crashed through the rabbit brush, passing within an arm's length of Snail Shell. Snail Shell pounded through the sand, cursing the way it dragged at the feet. But once the first flush of fear had passed, he dropped into a distance-eating lope that would carry him through the night. White Ash woke to the lightning of the eastern horizon. Dreams had haunted her sleep, images that chilled her soul. Fright had risen like a corrupt smoke to hover over her. She'd seen Brave Man's face as he fought her to the ground along the Grey Deer River. His knowing leer had turned into three bulls, a hideous grimace grunting fetid breath into her face. The dying shrieks of the white clay had sounded again and again as the cold air whistled with darts and war clubs smacked sickeningly into skulls.
Oh.
Brave Man stood naked, washed by 100 voices singing praise. He lifted imploring hands to the night sky. Firelight played wickedly over his muscular flesh, dappled by shadow dancers. As he turned, gloating, looking down at White Ash with victory in his eyes, her soul shriveled. In the flickering light, Brave Man's engorged penis throbbed with a malignant life of its own. Singing Stones held living fire in his age-knotted hands, the rapture in his face illuminated by a reddish light. He died, whispering,
"Killing dreamers."
Singing Stones.
Corpses leered at her as she fled along a forest trail. Left hand huddled before her, a broken man facing the final hope for a broken people. Her soul twisted as she watched him shuffle wearily eastward through the aspens. Sage Ghost peered into her eyes. She said the words that ended his hope and love.
"She's dead."
Always, the somber power of the wolf bundle pulsed in the light of the flickering fire. Behind the bundle, a forest exploded into flames as warriors screamed and fled. A young man danced ecstatically through tongues of flame, a rattlesnake clutched in his hands as the mountains burned and people screamed. She fought desperately to free herself, and the visions reeled and spun before her. A young man rose from a rocky, windswept soil. Snow blew in white streamers around his heavy moccasins. He stood before her, feet braced, and about his shoulders rested the hide of a great white bear. His eyes seemed to burn with an inner fire. He lifted his hand, blowing across his open palm, and from it sprang a rainbow, arching across the sky, dimming even the colorful bands of light that the great mystery played over the northern heavens.
"Who are you?"
He smiled at her, but before she could speak again, the young man turned, shimmering, and dropped to all fours, arms and legs multiplying until he'd become a red spider. It raced up the rainbow, slowing near the top. There it spread its legs, spinning the colors of the rainbow across the heavens until they wove themselves into a web connecting the dewdrops of stars. White Ash reached out, only to lose her footing. She twisted, seeking balance, and tumbled into the strands of the huge web. The web stretched and pulled, forming new visions. Brave Man raising the wolf bundle to the sun with one hand, while a long obsidian knife gleamed in the bright light, the translucent stone spotted by patches of darkness that dripped onto a square gray altar and burned crimson on the rock. A crumpled figure rolled from the waist-high stone, and she looked into still water's sightless eyes. A gaping hole had been slashed in his chest, and blood leaked from the cavity where his heart had been. White Ash tried to scream, but the suffocating web lifted her above the scene to stare down at people who ran in terror. Power changed around her. The glow of the spiral darkened, golden light dulling into a blood red. She shot a frightened glance back at the huge spider and saw the handsome youth again. He aged, his features hardening into those of Wolf Dreamer. The white bear hide gleamed and burst into dazzling light. Wolf Dreamer reached toward her in a gesture that implored, his face twisted with anguish. About her, suffering pulsed and retreated. A black miasma grew in the north, moving south, covering the surface of the living earth. The One changed, pulling back, retreating. Still water lay rotting below her, his flesh swelling. Carrion birds landed on the bones of his chest and perched on the ridges of his hips to peck maggot-filled meat from his gut. The web grew tighter. In desperation, she clawed at the clinging fibers, snaring herself until she couldn't move, couldn't breathe. The horror suffocated her. She became one with the filth. The robe that covered them comforted, a false security against the world that waited.
Couldn't I just stay here forever? Couldn't I let the world find its own answer? Let power deal with Brave Man's new dream? What is a single frightened woman against that?
The eastern horizon pinked. The hidden sun burned red and orange against the few clouds that hung over the black silhouette of the land. Her stomach cramped.
Worry. It eats at me, leaving me sick in the mornings.
She closed her eyes, leaving the world of illusion for the moment. She traced the path inside, turning inward until she found the feathery touch of the One. There, it lay in wait, the final escape if she chose to take it. Still water stirred, bringing her back. He rolled over. She opened her eyes. The sun had begun to rise in the eastern sky. Time slipped away when she dreamed the One. It seemed to flow past without touching her.
Past time to get up. Sun's up.
White Ash's heart pounded heavily as if it were made of rock. She placed hands over her eyes.
I can't do it. I'm not strong enough to face Brave Man. I couldn't even fight him when he captured me in the Grass Meadow Mountains. I'd given up. A real dreamer would have fought.
She lowered her hands and glanced at still water with haunted eyes. The image of the dream replayed, Brave Man standing over still water's lifeless body.
Can I save him? Can I save anything? Or will it happen anyway? Power discards those it can't use.
The familiar urge to vomit choked at the bottom of her throat. Stillwater pulled the last of their jerked meat from the pack, handing her several of the hard, dry slabs. She chewed, mouth watering, and her stomach twisted and tightened again.
Not this morning. Don't let me be sick again. How can a woman who can't keep her breakfast down defeat an evil dreamer?
She forced the food down before standing and pulling on her clothing. Hating the ill feeling, she walked down to the stream.
White Ash?
Still water rushed to her side.
Every morning. Is it just the worry or something else? Not some witching. Not a curse from the Brave Man.
She battled a wave of dizziness and shook her head.
No, it's just... I don't know. Once I get it over with, I'm fine. That wouldn't happen with evil power. It's worry. Or maybe this happens to all dreamers. If Singing Stones were here, we could ask him.
As soon as she said it, she wished she hadn't. Stillwater's smile didn't hide his anxiety. Giving her an understanding look, he produced two thin sticks of jerked meat.
I saved them. You need your strength.
She fingered the hard pieces.
Maybe I'll wait until we're on the way and eat them then.